and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Kathy Marino Thomas. Hello, everyone.
In for Anne, who will be back next week, folks, after a hiatus. But it's great to have you here, Kathy. And look, first of all, happy Bisexual Awareness Month. That's what we're in right now. You know, when I was a kid, very few people identified as bisexual. Now, very few people identify as gay and lesbian, and the kids all identify as bisexual or queer. So there you are. In the news, Republicans, this is horrifying. It's easy to be horrified these days. They're calling for the institutionalization of transgender people, and the FBI calls them violent terrorists who must be defeated in a war.
100 foundations responded to the White House threats to shut them down for terrorism.
So we are fighting back. And Democratic state attorneys general are telling trans youth, we have your back. And we're going to bring you their video. We hope you'll be encouraged by that.
Congressional resolution praises Charlie Kirk's bigoted worldview and not all Democrats' dissent. I have so much to say about that, Andy.
All right. But we saw Jimmy Kimmel come back this week. But Trump now has The View in his sights in his war on his media critics.
It ought to be exciting to see him go up against Whoopi Goldberg. The court win against anti-LGBTQ censorship by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Kamala Harris explains why she didn't pick a gay running mate and her retreat on trans issues.
Corrupt New York City Mayor Eric Adams injects anti-trans issues into his failing campaign for re-election, but there's a perverse method to his madness. I'm sure there is.
In New York, Amtrak police are once again entrapping gay men in New York Penn Station restrooms. This has been going on for decades, and, you know, it's just a disgrace.
It really is, Andy. Tampa's Pride Committee cancels its 2026 parade and takes heat, as it should.
Oklahoma's high court rules that the crazy education department, their scheme to inject Bible study into public schools is unconstitutional.
Chaos reigns at a federal health agency led by quack Dr. Trump.
It is the College of Quacks there at the White House, and it's frightening. We're also declaring Fascist Awareness Month since Trump just issued an executive order declaring Antifa a terrorist organization, even though Antifa is not an organization. It's just a catch-all for those of us doing anti-fascist work. I could say my father was Antifa because he fought in World War II, you know. And I don't get it. They take umbrage at being against fascism. What are you talking about? Aren't we all against it?
No. We should be, but they're showing their true colors there, Andy.
So the top story, really, and the one we want to pay the most attention to, is the fact that the administration is preparing to designate transgender people as violent extremists in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. This has been echoed by Kash Patel at the FBI and by Pam Bondi there. They consider the cult of gender ideology part of the radical left that is making people crazy. Now, if you want to look at two crazy people, look at these two.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. This is, you know, picking on a very, very, very small community who is generally nonviolent, pleasant to work with, wonderful people. I have many trans friends, and this is a disgrace. It's really a disgrace.
And the oversight project at the Heritage Foundation, which, you know, did the Project 2025 that's being implemented by Trump, they released a 4-page memo urging the Bureau, the FBI, to designate all transgender activism as trans ideology inspired violent extremism. And again, the same thing with the Antifa resolution. And he's doing all these executive orders about that. It's all about, you know, giving him more clubs to hit us with.
Well, and let's be clear, what they're talking about is anyone who's ever done any advocacy for the trans community. It's not just people yelling in the street right. And demonstrating against them. It's all of us who have went to our legislators and asked for trans rights, stood next to our trans siblings, stood up for them, fought against removing the T from the Stonewall Monument even. So that would incorporate most of us, Andy, most of us.
Right. Carolyn Leavitt, the press secretary, said, anyone who denies that trans people are getting more violent is willfully ignorant. Now, of course, you know, trans people are the victims of violence constantly. We report on their murders every week on this show. And Vance said that the militant trans movement is a domestic terrorist threat.
Vance, I don't think you should take anything that guy says seriously.
And Trump went to the Supreme Court this week to allow him to enforce his transgender and non-binary passport policy, which is to deny them things. And then
his corruption knows no bounds, Andy. He continues to use our trans siblings as a distraction to his own crimes. You know, every answer to this stuff should be, where are the Epstein files?
Right. And then talk about what Ronny Jackson, the congressman from Texas and a physician, did this week. Yes.
Ronny Jackson, former White House physician, Texas congressman, was asked if bringing back mental institutions could be on the table. He responded by saying that transgender people have legitimate psychiatric issues. It's called gender dysphoria. Just so
it says they have an underlying level of aggressiveness. He says the left-wing media come in every single day telling them that they are victims. We have to get them off the streets. We have to get them off the internet. We can't let them
talk to
each other.
Unbelievable. Let me just, I want to make a point of letting our viewers know that there is no evidence, none, that transgender people are violent or terroristic. The data is unambiguous. The vast majority of killings in the United States are carried out by cisgender white men.
Look, they're going to label anybody who does anything bad from now on as transgender. And look, I would say we are all on a gender spectrum, every single one of us.
All of us.
Man,
you
woman.
And I have talked about this before, Andy.
You know, anyway, how about we? But let's give you a break for 3 minutes. We've got a message to trans students from state attorneys general across the.
My name is Letitia James, and I am honored to serve as the Attorney General of the great state of New York.
I'm Dan Rayfield, Oregon's Attorney General.
Hey everyone, A.G. Campbell here.
My name is Rob Bonta, Attorney General of California.
Hey friends, Keith Ellison here, Attorney General for the state of Minnesota.
My name is Dana Nessel, and I'm Michigan's Attorney General.
My name is Kathy Jennings, Attorney General of Delaware.
My name is Charity Clark, Attorney General of Vermont.
My name is Anthony Brown, Attorney General of the state of Maryland.
As students and educators return for another school year, I promise to fight for trans students.
I promise to fight for trans students.
I promise to fight for trans students.
I promise to fight for trans youth.
Donald Trump has been going after the rights of trans students, their families, and anyone who supports them.
And in Michigan,
in California,
here in Vermont,
in Massachusetts,
in Oregon,
in Delaware,
in New York,
in Maryland, we don't tolerate hate, and we do fight back.
We fight back.
And we do fight back.
And we do fight back.
And we're going to stand with everybody. We believe in liberty and justice for all. All means transgender students, too.
We will also continue to hold this federal administration accountable, fighting to protect your rights, to protect access to health care, and so much more.
When it comes to keeping trans youth safe, we will do whatever it takes.
My office is analyzing each and every executive order and other action taken by the Trump administration that violates the rights of trans people.
I co-led a multi-state lawsuit challenging federal directives.
And the Trump administration weaponized the DOJ to interfere with families' private medical decisions. We took them to court.
At California DOJ, we've stopped forced outing policies in schools that threaten the safety and well-being of our students.
We led a coalition of attorneys general in supporting a group of courageous trans children fighting for their access to life-saving medical care.
We launched a gender-affirming care toolkit, which provides resources about gender-affirming care here in Oregon.
We are protecting our hospitals and clinics to provide the care that you may need.
We won't look away if students are facing hostile learning environments, and we will hold schools accountable under our state laws.
My office is here for you.
My office is here for you.
Students can file complaints with the state's Division of Human Rights or State Education Department.
As the school year starts, we want you to remember.
You belong here.
You inspire us.
And we do love you.
So have a great school year and know that you got some people who have your back.
Well, that's encouraging. These are good people.
They
talk to each other all the time, and not just on trans issues, but in fighting the Trump administration tooth and nail on everything.
Well, we have to be very proud of our Letitia James. I mean, she's leading the charge on so many fronts against this administration.
Which makes
I'm proud of all of them. Yes, I'm proud of all of them. I wish there were 20, 30 more of them. But this is a great start, and I'm glad they're sticking together.
Well, speaking of Tish James, you know, Trump is desperate to prosecute her for something.
They couldn't find anything.
The federal prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia, who was charged with this and into looking into James Comey, found no evidence that they did anything wrong. So what did he do? He
fired him.
Well, he says, "I fired him." The guy resigned because he saw it coming. And, you know, Trump's attitude is like Stalin's. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And so he sent in his personal lawyer, who has zero experience as a prosecutor in her life. Now, you know, I'm kind of encouraged by this, that he sent this stupid woman down there to do this, because, you know, if you're that inexperienced, how are you going to be able to get convictions from
Correct.
Trump and everything like that? Yeah. So, you know. And then there's the Tom Holman scandal, you know, the guy who's head of, ICE. And, you know, everybody saw he took $50,000 cash bribe and he's acting like he did nothing wrong.
Well, the administration's acting like he did nothing wrong.
Right. Okay. Let's get on to the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk stuff. I have to say that watching some of that massive memorial rally that they had for him in Arizona was chilling. You know,
I couldn't watch it, Andy.
We got to deal with the fact 200,000 people showed up for that, and they are activated, and now they're getting more. So they're building a movement against a lot of what we stand for. So we got to take it seriously.
Even military leaders. Right. Are getting in on this. They want possible slogans that, you know, Charlie has awakened a generation of warriors. The guy never served.
Right. Well, it was nice to hear his wife, Erica, you know, saying she forgave her husband's assassin because it was what Christ would do. And then, you know, instead of just sort of letting that nice sentiment stand, Trump gets up and says, "Sorry, Erica, I hate my opponents. They are monsters." Well,
right.
Well, that's
right.
What we're,
and she gives that nice sentiment, and that was great. But then she's going to take over his organization and lead the charge against.
I've already gotten a solicitation from her.
Oh, of course you did.
Yes.
Money is their main objective.
I'm on some right wing lists so I can keep track of what they do. But how about that Hakeem Jeffries? Now he's the Democratic leader in the House, and he told leadership to go along with, you know, the congressional resolution praising Charlie Kirk as a courageous patriot. The Congressional Black Caucus, which he is a member of, was not happy about this.
No, they weren't. Their statement was very well balanced. It was very powerful. It talked about the murder as a solution is never the way, is never the answer.
Of course.
But they reminded us very strongly that we can't ignore his divisive commentary and Trump's willingness to further divide the nation. That's very important to remember. Of course, none of us think that murder is the way to go. None of us agree with shooting a guy while he's giving a speech at a public, at a college campus. But we can't ignore what the guy stood for. And this is what I have against these Democrats who voted for this resolution. Now, had the resolution been against political violence, generally, I could have went with that. If the resolution even mentioned Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark, who were killed in their home
in Minnesota,
at blank range, I could get with that. But to use Charlie Kirk, the most divisive one of all of them, I can't get with that. And Hakeem Jeffries is going to take a call from me very soon.
And there were six members of the LGBTQ caucus who voted for this resolution. Angie
Craig. One of them, Sarah McBride.
Charisse David, Chris Pappas, and Mark Takano. And as you say, Sarah McBride, you have some more to say about Sarah?
Well, Sarah, I want to tell you that I understand your logic, I think. She says she voted yes because she wanted to condemn violence and particularly political violence. But I would have had more respect for her vote if she had pushed back to include Melissa Hortman and Mark Hortman.
Well, they couldn't obviously get anything in there. So, you know, it's just, and don't forget, you know, Charlie Kirk called for the execution of Joe Biden on his podcast.
He did.
So many violent statements. Everybody acts like, oh, he's just this good guy who wants dialogue.
Right.
He would never want to dialogue about anything. He just had these set pieces with college students.
He was very effective,
but, you know, in a scary kind of way.
He was in a scary kind of way. I would have loved to see them push back against this, but they did not.
Cardinal Dolan called Charlie Kirk a modern day St. Paul and a hero. I'm glad he'll be leaving soon.
Yes, I'm glad. I'll be glad to see him go.
Now, you know, the murder was allegedly committed by this kid, Tyler Robinson. Robinson? Yeah.
Robinson. They're trying to pin it on the trans community again.
But one person familiar with the investigation said there is no evidence connecting the suspect
None.
With any left-wing groups. Every indication is that he was one guy who did one really bad thing because he found Kirk's ideology personally offensive.
Right. But to make it even more complicated, so they're trying to charge him federally, but they can't charge him federally. It's proving to be quite a challenge for them to kind of tie this into a federal offense because he's a Utah resident. He didn't travel out of state. He shot Cook in an open campus debate. Kirk is not a federal officer or an elected official, so they're having trouble connecting it to anything federal, which makes me very happy. Robinson is currently currently facing state charges.
Right. Now, then the Department of Justice, they used to have on their website a study of extremism in the aftermath of Kirk's death. They have deleted it from the website. It was funded by the National Institute of Justice. And it said since 1990, far-right extremists were involved in 227 events that took more than 520 lives. In the same period, far-left extremists committed 42 ideologically motivated attacks that took 78 lives. So,
and that's why they deleted it, because whenever the information doesn't go their way, they delete it or they discredit it. That's
right.
Their weakness.
All right, let's get to Charlie. Let's get, oh God, 39 more. We have 39 minutes. We have plenty of time. Let's start talking about the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing when we didn't know what was going to happen, but ABC brought him back.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud of Jimmy. I'm proud that his monologue was amazing last night. He did not apologize. He went right back to his usual rhetoric, and I was very happy to see that.
Yes. And of course, you know, the two of the affiliate groups, which cover about 20% of the country, these are right wing corporations, Nexstar. And what's the other one?
Sinclair.
Sinclair. You know, these are basically, I mean, I'm going to use the word again, they're fascists.
They are.
They give scripts to the news people in all of their affiliates and say, you must read this about anything that they want to talk about. And they have a lot of penetration all across the country, 20%. But so they cut Kimmel off.
It may be 20%, but it's in the areas of the country where we really need diversity in comment. And they're restricting that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they did compromise on this. The first night that that Kimmel was knocked off the air, I tuned in to see what they put on. Celebrity Family Feud. I said, well, that's better than Triumph of the Will.
Yeah, it is. But
and now they're going after, now the FCC and Trump are going after The View. Now, The View, the women of The View didn't say anything about this the first day.
No, but yesterday they did.
Yes,
they said
did.
Quite a bit. Whoopi Goldberg
looking into ways to treat The View not as a news thing and not, you know, being given any treatment that way, and to knock them off the air if they can. And so we did. There was a Rise and Resist demonstration, and other groups went to ABC headquarters in New York and in Los Angeles, and our own J.W. Walker,
I love him.
Resist and Gays Against Guns gave a stirring speech for the next 3 years.
And for those of us who stand against gun violence,
yes,
it has been a very difficult time because we have had to balance the fact that we loathe the hatred.
Yep.
Spewed out by Charlie Kirk and his minions
for
a full decade on,
right,
and the negative effects that hatred has had on our most marginalized communities.
Yes.
And we also despise and are disgusted by the gun violence that grips this nation.
Yes.
The two are inextricably linked.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If you believe, and that's a big if, the text messages that were shared by the FBI, but if you do believe them, the one thing that did at least ring true for me was that the alleged shooter, said, I can't stand the hate anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the effect that that kind of hatred, that kind of horrific hatred has on our populace. It not only encourages people to do violence against the most marginalized people, but it also puts some members of the most marginalized communities into a fight or flight mode.
Yes.
And it makes them prey to the violence that inundates our culture and makes them victims by committing that violence. And we cannot forget that. And Jimmy Kimmel, all that Jimmy Kimmel said is that we are in a space where people on one political side are determined to assign an identity to that alleged killer based on what they want to happen.
Right.
And he called that out. He did not say a negative thing about Charlie Kirk in that portion that is quoted. He did not even say anything negative about that guy in the Oval Office. He pointed out what we all saw, at least those of us who are on social media, what we all saw happening for the last 7 days. This run to blame the political left for an assassination when every metric, every single study that has been done over the last several years shows that it is not even close when you look at that the right wing is responsible for upwards of 75% of the political violence that occurs in this country.
Correct.
Because an ideology based on hate is going to create violence.
Yes.
Yes. Wow.
An ideology based on hate is going to create violence. That is a good t-shirt.
Right. And thank you, J.W. Walker, so articulate out there.
Very powerful speaker.
No notes. He just, you know, he just, because he speaks from the heart.
Yep.
Which more people need to. A lot of celebrities came out and backed Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, it was a who's who of Hollywood who backed him up. And I think that got ABC very nervous when that happened, because people were saying, we're not going to work for you anymore.
Right. And even our opponents, even people who don't agree with us, came out to speak in favor of freedom of speech, which
Rogan,
was the thing that really inspired me was yes. that people from both sides are not going to deal with having our freedom of speech hindered and restricted. We're not going to do it.
So, you know, we do have freedom of speech, supposedly. But, you know, Charlie Kirk was very famous for, you know, going after university professors and others. If he didn't like what you said, they would put you on a hit list, basically. And I don't mean to be murdered, but basically to be eliminated from society, where you would be harassed and people would send you all these messages and all these kinds of things. So talk about cancel culture. That was that was just a crazy. So there's a group called Cancel the Hate, which is trying to counteract this. And they've received more than, well, anyway. All right. So I may be getting that wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not reading my notes right. And then,
Cancel the Hate was done to have people collect information on people who are talking against Charlie Kirk.
I see. That's right. That's right. It's an anti.
Yes. But here's what happened. So people were going in and they were reporting people who were talking against Charlie Kirk, and they were giving their information as the person who was reporting it. And there was a data breach, and all of the people who did the reportings, information was hacked and released. So there
right,
you go.
That's good. And I'm glad you're here, Kathy, to correct me.
My pleasure, Andy.
Still a little under the weather.
No worries.
Don't get the bug that I got.
Just okay. Proving to you that I read everything you sent me. That's all.
No, we're on this together. And look, right in the beginning, Wanda Sykes, who was supposed to be the guest on Jimmy Kimmel the day it was canceled, she spoke up. So let's hear from her.
Please.
Hey, everybody. So I'm in a full face of makeup because I was supposed to go over and have a chat with my friend Jimmy Kimmel on his show. But as you have heard by now, the Jimmy Kimmel show has been pulled indefinitely, abruptly, because of complaints from the Trump administration. So let's see. He didn't end the Ukraine war or solve Gaza within his first week, but he did end freedom of speech within his first year. Hey, for those of you who pray, now's the time to do it. Love you, Jimmy.
Well, I don't pray, but I will fight.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. But I know Wanda. She's a lovely woman, and she speaks her mind. And she's a sister. Yes, she is. Right. I will say that Jimmy said something very important last night in his monologue. And he said that if the administrations go against comedians because they just don't like them, this is an affront to our freedom of speech. And I think it's really important to remember that. Comedians have notoriously been a way for this country to express their real feeling and talk about a wide variety of things and reach people who don't agree with them.
The first thing that Putin did in Russia when he took power eventually was to get rid of, when he started cracking down, was to get rid of a comedy show that used
That's
to
right.
lampoon him.
That's right. Absolutely. So I'm proud of Wanda for speaking out. That was great.
Now, there was another win for Jimmy Kimmel last week before he got canned. He had a court victory over ex-Congress member George Santos, the now imprisoned right-wing drag queen and traitor to the LGBT community, who had sued Kimmel for copyright infringement for using one of Santos's cameo videos on a show. The judge said it was fair use.
It's fair use. Not only that, but even Santos's attorney didn't side with Santos. That's the comedy there. When making oral arguments to the appeals court, his attorney said, I don't know if one of your honors or more laughed when you watched these cameos. He laughed. He said, I laughed at them. It was the whole purpose to get somebody to laugh at George Santos saying ridiculous things for money. His own attorney said it.
All right.
Jimmy Kimmel serious. Is winning this week. He is winning.
Yeah. Much more serious is the way the administration, led by J.D. Vance, is going after foundations that fund progressive organizations. Vance singled out the Ford Foundation and the Open Society, George Soros, as part of a group of organizations that foments, facilitates, and engages in violence. Give me a break.
But over 100 of them stood against the attack.
Yeah, they 100 philanthropies, including Ford, Freedom Together, Knight Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson, they all wrote a letter saying, you know, we reject, this characterization, and we're not going to be silenced or shut up by you. We'll see about that.
I feel very inspired by all of these people, by the philanthropies that stood up, by the attorneys general that stood up. We are finally seeing some fight back.
Yeah, well, we're not a majority. Well, at least politically, we're not a majority politically. We are a majority. I mean, 65% object to what Trump is doing, you know, in the country, but they hold the levers of power, and that's what counts in this country.
Stay positive, Andy. Don't be a Debbie Downer. Stay positive.
All right, here's another positive story. We had a court win against the anti-LGBTQ censorship by the National Endowment for the Arts. A federal court in Rhode Island ruled that the policy of reviewing grant applications to see if they comply with Trump's order on gender ideology violated the Constitution. I mean, they said you can't use these as the criteria, these ideological criteria for arts grants. You have to be able to, you know, it has to be done on artistic merit and excellence. This was a judge appointed by President George W. Bush. And
he believes in the Constitution, though, so that, you know, he could be appointed by anyone. If you believe in the founding documents of our country, you will speak out against this gender ideology thing that he's got going on. They were represented by the ACLU, and the attorney there had some very interesting things to say. She said that the court resoundingly affirmed the plaintiff's argument about the purpose behind the laws. She said, it would have transformed these programs into ratification of whatever the government message wanted to be had we lost.
Yes.
She's right.
It's a great victory, just like the victory of getting Jimmy Kimmel back on the air.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, Andy. I think that there's some positivity in the changes here. I think that people are starting to, it's starting to penetrate exactly what they did to this country.
Yes, but Kathy, I mean, you know, what happens when it goes to the Supreme Court, you know, the Trump court? That court said it was okay for Trump to fire the head of the Federal Trade Commission. Well, they didn't say it was okay. They just said, well, she can stay fired until we hear the case next year or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. We need to have immediate things that say that is an overturning of precedent and you can't do that. So keep the injunction in place and let the person serve. The big test is going to become with the woman at the Federal Reserve. That Trump has asked that case go to the Supreme Court.
Well, and I think that maybe the focus for some of our activism should be to expand that court. I mean,
well, sure, you can't do it. Come on. The Congress has the power to expand the Supreme Court, which it should have done a long time ago. We have 9-member court. The number
is up to 13, I think it is, or 15.
Huh?
I think we can go up to
when we had the levers of power, we were thwarted by people like Joe Manchin and Kirsten Gillibrand or whatever her name was, you know, that they just didn't do it. Republicans would have done it in a second. And we just, you know, say, well, let's play by the rules. Let's play by norms.
It steps us back again. It points to the midterms once again, if there is an election.
I think we, well, But going back to the attorneys general in the states, I think we need something, what I would call, said it before, soft secession. You don't secede as a state from the country, but you start acting on your own. Right. The way the southern states did when they didn't like integration. But we do.
That's exactly right.
All right.
The Democrats hesitate to play by the same hardball rule book. They hesitate.
Well, they're all coming out for California to redistrict, so that's good. We'll see if that passes in November.
We'll see. Yeah.
So now the Trump administration is seeking an emergency order at the Supreme Court. They want to reinstate their policy blocking trans Americans from matching the sex listed on their passports and gender identity.
It's just more beat up of the trans of our trans siblings, Andy. It's more beat. It's anyway.
The other thing that's come to light is that Department of Housing and Urban Development is refusing to enforce the Fair Housing Act, which is one of the reasons there is a Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Right. So
they're against all civil rights law. The Fair Housing Law was like one of the first civil rights, you know, laws of the modern era. And, you know, that people should not be discriminated against in housing. And they're just not pursuing these cases anymore. They're not doing their jobs. Because they are against civil rights. Charlie Kirk said Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a big mistake.
Yeah, but he's the hero of the day, right?
Right.
But this story gave me a little bit of a smile that the lawsuit against the New York Times by Trump was dropped because of improper and impermissible presentation form. Amazing.
And this was a judge, Stephen Merriday, who was appointed by President George H.W. Bush.
Right. Another amazing. Republican. The reason I like that detail is because it's showing that not all Republicans are MAGA.
Well, sure. You know, although if you're not, basically, you almost have to leave the party these days. And then, you know, I mean, it's not a gay issue, but how are we tolerating the president continually dropping bombs on fishing boats and coming from Venezuela? You know, of course, we don't want, you know, drugs in this country, but you've got to prove that. And you've got to do it through a legal process. And you don't just kill people. That's extrajudicial killing. And if he does it there, they're going to start doing it here.
Of course, Andy, it's all his abuse of power. All these things are, he really believes he could just do whatever he wants, sort of like his buddy Putin.
He was bragging about it in his insane speech at the United Nations.
Oh my God, how embarrassing was that speech?
To be an American.
Oh my God, I was mortified by that. Well, mortified.
Well. All right, how about that Kamala Harris?
I didn't like her interview around this book. She was on The View this week. I didn't like it. I didn't like the idea that she thought that keeping quiet about Biden was going to be self-serving. Your job as the vice president of the nation was to say that he was incapable of running again. I don't think it's self-serving at all. I think if she knew that he was incapable, she should have spoken up. Had she spoken up a year before, we might not be in this position now. I have to say it. I also didn't like that she thought Pete Buttigieg was too risky. What is that supposed to mean? Because he's a gay man? We have to push the envelope on the straight white man leading the country theory. It can't
be. And now
be.
On trans issues, she says she agrees with the concerns expressed by parents and players on sports teams that have to take into account, we have to take into account biological factors such as muscle mass and unfair student advantage. So she's retreating on that. Now, all the sports organizations have retreated on it too, for the most part. But I mean, come on. She said she didn't hit hard on this issue when she was being attacked on it during the campaign because of her alliance with the LGBTQ community and because we're being kicked while we're down. But now she's sort of part of the movement to get, you know, to pile on about this.
I'll tell you the truth. When the View ladies asked her if she was thinking about running again and she said no, I was happy to hear that.
But look, she did give one very good answer in the book. You know, when she was being attacked for not being black, she said, her staff said, you should give a big speech about this the way Obama did. And she said, today he wants me to prove my race. What's next? he'll say, I'm not a woman and I need to show him my vagina. That's a good answer.
That is a good answer. That is a good answer. But I think that she is backing down and she shouldn't.
All right. And Representative AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Who never backs down.
They're looking at running for either president or for the U.S. Senate in 2028. And that would be against Chuck Schumer.
I think she should run for Senate.
And then there is our now despicable mayor, Eric Adams.
Oh, my gosh.
He's at like 6% in the polls right now. So what did he do this week, Kathy?
He went on an anti-trans rant. And I'll tell you the truth. I think that he was poked by the Trump administration to do that. I think that Trump told him to interject trans issues into his campaign to try to hurt Zohan Mamdani.
I think his donors are doing that too, and then they can start running ads against Mamdani featuring Eric to try to bring his numbers down.
And it's clear because his comment that he's not for little for boys going into the same bathroom as little girls, Eric. I call him Eric, and I don't know if you know that, but even to his face, I call him Eric because he works for me, and okay. I don't want him to ever forget
that. I've known him for, 30 years.
Me too. We worked on marriage equality together. I don't understand what happened to him or where he went. I really don't. Wow. But I can't wait for him to be gone and for Zohan to be in that seat.
But we did have a victory in Manhattan. We've told you about this. We have these community education councils. They have no power. But they make recommendations from all the districts in New York. And there was one in Manhattan, Manhattan, which had an anti-trans resolution.
Well, you know how that happened, right? You know how that happened? The woman from Liberty, Women for Liberty,
Moms
or whatever.
Moms for Liberty.
She won by a margin this big because nobody votes in those elections. And she snuck herself right in there.
So the next election, and only parents can vote. I can't vote.
Right.
I'm not a
parent. I actually went and spoke at some of those meetings. And the people who were speaking out against her and against this resolution far outweighed the people speaking for it. I don't quite understand how it passed.
Well, that used to happen when we did the gay rights bill and we used to lose all the time until 1986. Now, Kathy, you are a parent, but I think it's only for people with kids in the school now.
Yeah, I can't vote anymore. My child is an adult now.
Okay.
She'll be 26, Andy.
Oh, my God.
I know you know her since she's a young girl.
Anyway, they overturned this, and this Maud Maron, who we keep telling you about, she's now running against Alvin Bragg as the Republican candidate for district attorney. Now, we had a victory in Arizona yesterday. The Democrat, Adelita Grualva, she won a special election for the United States House.
Yeah.
It's a Democratic district. But here's the thing. She won by 39 points. That's a 17-point overperformance from what the vote that Kamala Harris got in the district in 2024. So she will now be the 218th vote in the House for a discharge petition on the Epstein files.
Amazing. Release the files. That's what I say.
All right. Something terrible that is happening in New York is, and I've been hearing about this for decades, is Amtrak police going in there to entrap gay men. And this civil rights lawyer, Jared Trujillo,
he's fantastic.
Tells us about it.
Hey, y'all. So I've just gotten some disturbing news that officers at the Penn Station Amtrak bathroom have been using sniffies in order to lure people and to charge them with lewdness. Now, they're not only using sniffies. There are other instances where officers will approach someone who's at a urinal. The officer will touch himself or will just peer at the person. And if the person who is there just trying to pee responds in any way, that person is then arrested or at least charged with lewdness. Now, this is not the first time in New York that this has happened. About 10 years ago, when I first became an attorney, officers at Port Authority were doing the same thing. So an officer, one of which called himself the Gay Whisperer, would go up to men that were at the urinal and would touch himself or appear at the man. And if the person responded in any way, or if the officer just said that the person, man, non-binary person, whatever, responded in any way, that person would be arrested and charged with lewdness. It's that practice, for the most part, stopped at Port Authority. Legal Aid sued over the practice just because of the way that these arrests were carried out and because of who these arrests were perpetuated against. And it's really, frankly, disgusting that this practice seems to have returned to New York City at Amtrak. Now, the purpose of this video is not to shame folks at all. That is not my role. But it really is to just let people know to beware, to be smart, to certainly do not talk to cops. If a cop approaches you or if a cop arrests you, you should be invoking your right to silence and your right to speak to an attorney. And you should certainly not be showing that cop your cell phone unless they have a warrant. Again, this is really disturbing, but, you know, there's lots of people working on doing something about it. If this has happened to you, you can please let me know in my DMs, or just shoot me a message in my DMs. I will give you my number on Signal and we could talk about it there. But yeah, this is a really gross practice, so please just be safe.
Jared Trujillo, Trujillo on TikTok, and now this is Amtrak police. And one of the people they arrested was an NYPD cop who has been put on modified duty as a result. I mean, again, these are entrapments. They're often totally phony charges. And the other thing is they're turning them over to ICE if they're immigrants.
Of course. But Jared gave some good advice there, and I hope folks listen to that.
Okay. All right. Very sad to hear what's going on in Tampa.
I'm so disappointed. They canceled their pride for 2026 due to the current political and economic climate. Like, Florida, stand up. I am so disappointed. In my mind, because of the political climate, that pride is even more important.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, putting on a big parade and festival and everything, that is expensive and they have to raise a lot of money for it. But doing what we do with the Queer Liberation March.
I was just going to say that, Anthony. The Queer Liberation March has no budget
at all. You just announce a date and a time and you start marching and you carry your signs and you have a protest march because that's all. We're not going to have much to celebrate next year. We need protest.
But staying home, canceling the event, not the answer, Tampa, not the answer.
So they are getting pushback. Good to hear that the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled that the Christian Nationalist Superintendent of Public Instruction, Ryan Walters, and the Oklahoma Board of Education cannot force schools to incorporate the Bible and Christianity into the new social studies standards.
This was a fantastic ruling in the favor of the separation of church and state. And the thing that impressed me most about this is that a lot of religious organizations agree that the separation of church and state must be maintained. So I love that.
The court reminded them that the Bible, which is not a history text, contains stories of incest, masturbation, bestiality, prostitution, genital mutilation, fellatio, dildos, rape, and even infanticide.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that ruling. That ruling really gave me hope.
All right. All right, in Minnesota, a Democrat there, XP, or how do I say the name? The first name is XP. Lee won a special election to fill the vacant seat of Representative Melissa Hortman, who was assassinated there. And that puts Democrats and Republicans back on an equal footing in Minnesota, which makes a big difference. And this woman, Lee, beat his Republican opponent by more than 21 points. He was born in a Thai refugee camp after his family fled Laos during the Vietnam War. All right, Texas A&M
president stepped down after controversy over gender ideology again.
I don't quite get this story. You know, there was a lecturer who was fired because somebody taped her, you know, when they said, I only believe in two genders and you're violating my religion.
That's right.
And then she was fired, but they don't think he did enough or he didn't handle it right. So he had to leave, this doctor, Welsh, I guess, Mark Welsh.
Well, and it was a student filmed herself arguing with that instructor because of Trump's first executive order, declaring there are only two genders. This right. is not a free country. In free countries, they don't do things like that.
Right. In the Orange County, California library system violated state laws with its policy of restricting young people's access to sexually explicit material, a judge has ruled, and it violated the Freedom to Read Act. So that's a setback for the right wing there. Okay.
And I'm proud of all of the setbacks that we've seen this week on their hate and their.
I mean, I like those setbacks.
I love them because it shows that people are standing up and fighting back. I love them.
They say get back. We say fight back.
Fight back. That's right.
All right. Somebody we lost this week, not an LGBTQ person, Susan Zanarios. She was a leader in the crime victim movement and a longtime ally of the community. She died at 79 of cancer. She was, executive director of the Crime Victim Center in New York for 40 years and a great ally. She really worked hard to get the Hate Crimes Act of 2000 passed in New York. She helped get rid of the sodomy laws in New York, which had
enough is enough laws, hers.
Matt Foreman says she's one of the first to recognize the prevalence of sexual assault against men. And she created the first program to help male survivors. So he was a big fan, and he said, she was so genuinely warm and supportive, I was shocked when I learned that she wasn't a lesbian.
Not all of us are warm and supportive, Matt.
All right, we're running out of time. We've got a couple of crime stories, a hate crime in Boston. Police are hunting for a group of men who shouted homophobic slurs and attacked a couple. And that's not them. No, that's later.
No, that's
they don't have any suspects in this case. Then in Western Massachusetts, these two men put them up. They were finally sentenced after pleading guilty to hate crime charges. Right. These are the ones who went after people who were working in a liquor store. They wanted to
right. buy liquor. They beat the heck out of one of the lesbians.
And so they have finally pled guilty. The victims were seriously injured. And then there was a hate crime in Phoenix. A transphobic man threatened to shoot up an LGBTQ bar last Wednesday because he was triggered by the murder of Charlie Kirk. So they arrested this guy. He was, ranting about radical left violence breeds a far right response. And he was going to go in there and be a martyr for Charlie Kirk. And so
it only proves once again who the real crazies are. It's not us, Andy.
Now, you're involved in Gays Against Gun. You have a new movie out.
I am. We just saw a private screening of the Gays Against Guns documentary. It's a story about the work of Gays Against Guns, how we came to be. I do part of the narration. If you go to gaysagainstguns.org, you can get some more information. It's going to be hopefully in all of the film festivals in 2026. It's a beautiful movie, very well done by Paul Rowley, who is our videographer and person who has been documenting all of our work since Pulse. It's a 10-year anniversary of Pulse in 2026. Wow. I know, 10 years already. Gays Against Guns is going to have a lot of activity in 2026. We need human beings. We need marshals. Please go to the Gays Against Guns website and sign up. I am leading the charge for human beings in 2026, so you'll get to see me every month if you sign up to be a human being or a marshal.
What is the website?
It's gaysagainstguns.org.
Okay. We want to congratulate our friend Carla J. Carla's been an activist since Stonewall times. And the group called Outwards is honoring her on Thursday, September 25th, too late for some of you, 6 to 8 p.m. at the center. There'll be information about this in our email. She was a founder of the Gay Liberation Front, Lavender Menace activist, and she's an award-winning author of 10 books. She's going to reflect on this pivotal moment in our movement's history. I will be curious as to what she has to say.
As a young lesbian, I had such a crush on her. She's such a hero. And now I've had the pleasure of meeting her a bunch of times, and she's even better in person. So congratulations, Carla.
All right. International news. Well, Rise and Resist was out there again protesting Trump's appearance at the UN. They started at the public library there on the steps. A bunch of them got arrested. Their message, according to Alexis Danzig, one of their stalwarts, was Trump is a menace to democracy anywhere. And other countries need to know that the people who reside here do not approve of Trump. All right, let's talk about speaking of showing one's vagina, I'm not trying to be funny
here. I'm so disturbed by the fact that they're even considering this. The Macron.
Wait a minute. This is Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, and his wife, Brigitte. And of course, Candace Owens is, keeps saying that she's a man and he's, it's all kinds of slander. So they're suing her in a court in Delaware, and they have great lawyers, and they're saying now that they're willing to present photographic and scientific evidence to prove the First Lady is a woman.
I don't blame them for saying they would do it, but I am offended that they may need to do it. Candace is out of her mind, and we should be dismissing her as a lunatic, and these very upstanding and wonderful people should not have to go through this.
All right. Some good news out of Tokyo with the World Athletic Championships. Out gay Spanish race walker Maria Perez became the first one to win two gold medals in consecutive events. I mean, so that she's a tremendously elite. At the Paris Olympics, she won gold. And the next Olympics are, she says, in Los Angeles will be her last. I'll be 32, and I'm thinking about motherhood because I love children, and I believe there's life after sports. But she's still a winner. All right. AIDS and health news. On Obamacare, the reason the Democrats are trying to hold out on passing the budget bill is because they want to protect it. Because your premiums are going to double if a Republican bill goes through.
Yes, they are.
And then you saw the spectacle of Dr. Trump and all the quacks in the White House against Tylenol. And it's just insane. And against immunization, that was a total S show.
We knew this was coming when he appointed RFK Jr. We knew it. We knew that science would be out the window at the CDC. We knew that all of these crazy health recommendations would just be off the wall.
Down to our last minute, we told you about the LGBTQ winners at the Emmys. I just want to make the point. We have a picture. A third of the Emmy acting awards went to LGBTQ actors. So just that's all I want to say about that. And I want to recommend a film called The Compatriots, which is on the subject of a young closeted gay man who had been born in Peru, Javi, played by Rafael Silva there, in jeopardy from ICE. And this is before the Trump crackdown. And his best friend, who's a jock, played by Dennis Shepard, offers to marry him. And it takes it from there. It's sort of a comedy, but it has a lot of serious issues, and it's going to be streaming on Prime Video.
I will put that on my list. I haven't seen it, but I'll put it on my list.
We're out of time.